always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. Work out your own salvation, or work out your salvation, with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Praise God for the reading of his word. So, considering verse 12 and looking at what it has to say to us today, we don't need to miss the connection between this verse and Philippians 2:8. And if you remember just a few weeks ago, well, close to a month ago now, but Philippians 2:8 says, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. And the obedience Paul expects of Christians follows in this same verse. So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation in fear and trembling. Hallelujah. There's an example here for us. Jesus set the example. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, death on the cross. So, that's important. That really is the example for our lives. We'll get to looking at some other verses that will help clarify that. But this working out your salvation in fear and trembling speaks of humility, of the need for the Christian to be humble. Sometimes when we read this idea of, we hear the word work and we think about works righteousness or something like that, but that's not really what we're talking about here. It's not the work in the sense of accomplishing salvation, but work it out to appropriate that which has already been given to you. In other words, when Jesus died on the cross, he said, "It is finished." He finished the work of redemption. And we trust in Christ and we're justified by faith in Christ. We become the very righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. A transformation takes place in our lives when we put our faith in Him. And it's just simple faith. It's the grace of God. It's His work in us to bring us to the place where we can enjoy His presence, where our life can be reconciled to God, where we can be in right relationship with God and enjoy worship with God, where we can enter boldly by the blood of Jesus into the holy place to come into God's presence. So, working out your salvation. Working it out. That word means in the Greek to bring about. It means to accomplish. To bring it about. In other words, it's already happened. Jesus has already done it for us, but we need to dive into it. And we need to somehow begin to appropriate everything that He's done for us, so that we're living in the midst of what He's done. So that we're experiencing the abundant life that He's given us. He's given it to us, but is our life really abundant? Well, it is. There's no doubt about it. But could it be more abundant? Could it be more full? Is it possible to experience more of Him? Well, those are some questions we have to ask ourselves when we're in the process of working out our salvation. One of the things I love about it is that it implies that even though Jesus finished the work and He did it, that there's still an involvement for you and I, an active involvement. Some people would just like to sit back and say, "Well, praise the Lord, I don't really have to do anything because He saved me." And that's true. But if you really want to enjoy His presence, if you really want to find out about everything that He's done for you and begin to access that and to put it to work in your life, then it involves working out your salvation. It's a wonderful salvation. It's a completed work, and it's full of blessings. It's full of promises. It's full of the armor of God and all of the things that He's given us. But just because He's given us His righteousness, does that really mean we know how to live in it? Just because He's given us the armor, does that really mean that we know how each piece works properly and we have learned to put them into full effect in our lives? I think we'll live our whole lives long, and we could work out our salvation every single day. And we should. Working it out means new discovery. It means finding out new things about what God has done for you and how to appropriate them in your life. And that is something that we need to get excited about. That's where we need to live. Philippians 1:6 says this. I think I put it in here. Yeah. Philippians 1:6. Be confident of this very thing, that He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. He's begun this good work in us, this work of salvation. It's working. But we need to join together with Him in that and celebrate that and investigate it and find out, well, how are You working in me specifically today? Lord God, what is it that You want me to learn today? What new lesson, what new revelation can unfold in my life as I draw near You, as I walk with You? Hallelujah. The question is this. Now that you have salvation as your possession, what are you going to do with it? Work it, baby, work it. Man, we got it. It's like a brand new Christmas present. It's like a brand new toy. It's like something that you've gotten and it's wonderful, but you know that if you dive into it, you'll be finding new discoveries for years to come. That's what salvation's like. The salvation that is now yours. The salvation, the complete package of salvation that now belongs to you. Hallelujah. On the one hand, salvation is a complete work, as we've talked about. And in this sense, Jesus has done this complete work for us. But then on the other hand, there is also a sense in which salvation, at least the complete understanding of it, is still a work in process in our lives. Does that make sense? It's a completed thing from Jesus' standpoint. What He's done for us is completely finished. It's there, it's ours. But now our life should be a lifetime of discovery about how to completely incorporate it into our lives and take advantage of what He's done for us. It's just sort of like, you know, it's like anything in life. I mean, there are things that we do in life, and Jeannie and I were talking about today. She said, I don't know how you can preach. I said, well, if you remember, I couldn't. But I've been doing it a long time, right? But I remember the first time that I got up on a diving board. I'm talking about the high dive in particular. I could go off the low dive, but the high dive, oh my goodness. And I finally jumped in. It was not pretty. It was nothing of beauty. I was scared when I did it. You know, just shaking. Everything was shaking. But boy, that didn't last long. Because pretty soon the fear disappeared, and the fear disappeared because I discovered more about how the actual operation of diving. The first time I went, it was a job. But then all of a sudden I tried to, after jumping and getting jumping down, I was like, I'm going to try the diving now. And then you keep trying the diving and you get better. You get better. I mean, think about it. You look at some of these Olympic athletes that we are enjoying watching right now. Years and years and years of discovery and honing a craft that there would be no other way of being able to be that fine-tuned athlete, the best athletes in the world in their sport, without the work, without the work of discovery, of finding out what was theirs. And what each athlete would say is, I found out that I was much more capable than what I ever knew. When you first start out, you think, how could I ever know any more than this? But as we learn, as we grow in faith, we realize that the joy is new every day. We get excited about what we learn all the time. There are new things that just pop off the scripture page in our hearts and lives. And God's revealing a new layer. We need to think about it in that terms. As a matter of fact, the scripture talks about running the race the way an athlete runs, training in such a way as that. That's what we're talking about here when we talk about working out your salvation. We're not talking about works righteousness. Jesus did everything to make you righteous, to make you justified, to make you holy. But now we're learning how to live in it. How to become professional, if you will. Not from the standpoint of being paid, but professional from the standpoint, they say that anything that you truly put yourself into, it takes at least 5 years before you're considered a professional at what you're doing. No matter what it is, even if it's a sales job, it doesn't matter what it is. You start and you know hardly anything. 5 years later, you have this vast knowledge and such great confidence in what it is that you're doing because you have learned and you've grown. And you now can do it basically with your eyes shut. Hallelujah. We're learning to assimilate and to live in the fullness of all that Jesus has accomplished for us. And I have a quote for you. It comes from Mueller. And he says, the believer must finish, must carry to conclusion, must apply to its fullest consequences what is already given by God in principle. He must work out what God in His grace has worked in. I love that. God's already put it in us. Now we need to work it out. Hallelujah. Praise God. That's good. So, again, this scripture, this first verse, verse 12. So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. There's two things that I really hadn't talked too much about. We sort of focused on the working out your salvation, and that's the title of the sermon. But notice that he said, just as you have obeyed. What's he talking about? Well, the followers of Christ are those who live by the teachings of Christ. We follow His commands. We are the sheep who hear His voice, and we listen to Him, and we walk with Him. And it is in that life, that obedient lifestyle, that where we have submitted ourselves to Him, that we are working out our own salvation. And then it says, working out your salvation with fear and trembling. Where does the fear and trembling come in? Well, there's a few ways. First is just basically the fear of God. We cannot. How can we really be dependent upon Him without a holy fear of God? Without the fear of God, how are we ever going to walk in obedience? Without a healthy fear of God, without the fear and reverence of God, how would we have the knowledge that His Word is holy, that His Word is to be adhered to, that His commands lead us into all the ways of life? The fear of God is vitally important to understand that this salvation that we've been given, it's not a play toy. It is everything. It is life. It's not something to disregard or to handle without care, but to realize that this is a privilege and an opportunity, a holy privilege and opportunity we've been given to have this salvation planted within us and now be able to work it out. So we should work it out in the fear of God, with trembling. Number two, choosing daily to walk in the Spirit. If we're not choosing daily to walk in the Spirit, then we're not walking in the fear of God. We're not working out our salvation with fear and trembling. Does that make sense? It is important for us to walk in the Spirit. We live in the Spirit. We've been given the Spirit. We should embrace the Spirit of God, because the Spirit of God is the Counselor. He's our Holy Counselor who reveals to us everything we need to know about this great salvation that is ours. He's the one who teaches us and leads us into all the truth and shows us things to come. Hallelujah. And then finally, third, is the denial of self. Fear and trembling involves, no doubt, the denial of self. Matthew 6:24 says, "Then Jesus said to His disciples," I think it is 16:24. Okay. "Then Jesus said to His disciples, 'If anyone wishes to come after Me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow Me.'" I wrote an article about this recently. Not so recently now, but this idea of denying self and taking up your cross. The disciples were completely familiar with the idea of taking up your cross. Anybody who had received a death sentence had to take up their cross and carry it to the place where they were going to be crucified. Crucifixion was not something that just happened to Jesus. Crucifixion was a regular occurrence in that time. They understood it. And they understood that once you take up the cross, that's it. You don't get a reprieve after you take up the cross. The cross means death. From the moment you take up that cross, it's done. You're on the way to the place where you're going to be crucified. That's what the disciples understood. And so Jesus said, "If any of you, if anyone wishes to come after Me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow Me." In other words, lay your life down, deny yourself, and be willing, know that you're willing to die. Paul said it somewhere else. I think it's in Galatians chapter 2. "It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. I've been crucified with Christ." He's talking about this denial of self. That's not something that happens lightly. That's not something that happens flippantly. That's something that happens in fear and trembling. But it's something that we're all called to. If we're going to work out this salvation, we're going to have to deny self. Self stands in the way of discovery of what Christ has done for us by securing salvation for us. We have to deal with this question. Are we going to deny ourselves? Take up our cross and realize that we're now on the journey of following Jesus. Self in the back, crucified with Christ. It's Christ now who lives in me, Paul said. It's not me living, it's Christ living in me. That's where we need to get to in working out our salvation. Where it's less of us and more of Jesus. We struggle with that in this place where we live, because we have all the creature comforts. We can, anything our hearts desire, we can, right here in Murfreesboro, you can go get it. It's not very far away. You just run down to the store, you just run to your favorite restaurant, you just go wherever you need to, and you can get whatever you need. It's all available. We live in a fast food society. We live in a materialistic society where we can get what we want. Man, but denying self, what do we know about that? But it's part of the Christian walk. It's part of the Christian life. It's what Jesus said. Anybody who really wants to follow Him, if you're going to come after me, then here's what it takes. This is what must be done. We can spend our lifetime denying ourselves, learning to deny ourselves, learning to put Jesus first place, learning to walk after the Spirit. And then number four is fear of failure. The fear and trembling has to be a part of it if we're going to work out our salvation, because, man, this is such a great thing that's been given to us. It's so vast and so wonderful. And, man, the fear is, what if I mess up? What if I don't do it right? What if I fail to do it, to work it out, to really take it seriously? What if I don't deny myself? What if I don't take up my cross? I mean, Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 says this. I wrote this, I mean, this is from the Amplified, but the underlined parts of it are just what the verse says. And so I'm going to read that first. But I say, walk in the Spirit, and then you will certainly not carry out the desires of the sinful nature. Well, you hear that, right? There's the answer. If we're going to work out this salvation in fear and trembling, then we need to walk in the Spirit. And so the Amplified version of that verse says, but I say, walk habitually in the Holy Spirit. Learn to walk every day habitually in the Holy Spirit. Seek Him and be responsive to His guidance. And then you will certainly not carry out the desire of the sinful nature, which responds impulsively without regard for God and His precepts. Which, all of that is found out to be true if you compare Scripture to Scripture. That's exactly the truth. The sinful nature responds impulsively without regard for God and His precepts. So if we're going to safeguard this salvation and work it out and find out how wonderful it is and how it increases our life and causes us to be filled with an abundance, then we're going to have to habitually form a new habit of walking in the Holy Spirit every day, seeking Him and to be responsive to His guidance. Not ignoring the Spirit's promptings, not following them sometimes, but learning every day to walk in the Spirit and to heed His voice, to listen to what He has to say. He will lead us into all the truth. He will lead us into the discovery of this wonderful and great salvation. He will show us everything we need to know as we choose each day to walk in the Spirit. So the key to working out your salvation is right here. Walking habitually in the Holy Spirit is the key. And then I'm going to go finally to verse 13. And it says, for it's God. Work it out, for it's God who is at work in you. Hallelujah. He's the one who begun the good work in us, right? We just read that earlier from Philippians chapter 1. For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. What that means is that if it's for His good pleasure, then that means that He's chosen you and He's called you and He's given you this great salvation and He has a way that He wants you to work it out. He has a calling for you. It's both to will and to work for His good pleasure. He's bringing about His good pleasure that He wants to accomplish in your life. Sometimes we think we're just one in a million or one in millions. And how could our life be significant? But I assure you that it is. Because one life yielded to God, one life who has made the decision to follow Christ, to lay self down, and to live for Him, you will walk in your God-given purpose and you will be fruitful in your life for His kingdom's sake. And that's a promise. I mean, that is the beauty of this thing. God's at work in us. I remember being in a conference one time and a man led us to this particular scripture and he said, here's the definition of grace. He said, we know grace is unmerited favor, but grace, God's grace, is also the will. His both to will, God, both to will and to work for His good pleasure in your life. His grace is that He has called you and He has a will and a work for you, a purpose to work out in your life. You are His unique creation. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm going to invite the musicians to come. And we're going to sing this invitation as we do sing this. If the Spirit of God is speaking to your heart today, let God move in your heart. Receive the Word of the Lord, the Word that's coming to your spirit today, that the Spirit of God is speaking into your heart. Respond to that. If He's talking to you and you know that you need to rededicate your life to Jesus or you need to give your heart to Him for the first time, then do it. Don't delay. Hallelujah. The angels in heaven are waiting to throw a party, the Scripture says. Hallelujah. Amen. However the Spirit of God may be speaking to your heart, I ask that you would respond as we stand and sing.
Hymn 334.